This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley, where pretty much everyone is in the infirmary these days.
Yes. Everybody you know is sick, or you hear it, and
sniffles, and coughing, and sneezing. All the fun stuff.
The chills, yeah.
Yeah, all that fun stuff we enjoy. Blah, that time of the year. Yeah, I know, I don't know what day it was earlier this week one day. I just, just had the chills all day. Just could not get that chill out of me. Went home and just kind of crawled under the covers.
Yeah.
And spent the rest of the evening just, you know, laying around. Felt better the next day. I don't know if I cut it off at the pass or if I just stopped the symptoms at that point. But then Friday morning, I know I woke up, get ready for work, and just felt it in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
That's where I always get it. So, yeah, here we go. Probably start with that stuff now. How's it been at your house? You guys get through it?
We've been through it, yeah. The kids came down with strep a couple weeks ago, right before Christmas. So.
Fun.
Yeah. But other than that, they've been good. So hopefully it will stay that way.
Your husband, who has to work out in the cold all the time, he's probably the healthiest one.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Surprisingly.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Because, you know how it goes at things like that. The kids get sick, well, you know, mom has to take care of them, nurse them back to health.
Dad gets sick,
mom has to take care of him and, you know, nurse him back to health.
That is true.
Mom gets sick, she just has to deal with it.
And the kids and everything
right.
else.
What do you want us to do? We can't stop our lives.
Yep.
Even though mom does, we know how it goes.
Yeah.
Hey, this last Thursday, January 8th.
Okay.
Big day. You know what that day was?
Elvis's birthday?
Yeah. Would have been his 80th birthday.
Really? Okay.
Hey, nice call.
Thanks.
Did you notice the stuff sitting here in front of me?
No, I didn't.
Is that how you got it?
Nope. I remember people putting it up on Facebook.
It's all over the place, isn't it? Elvis Presley would have been 80 years old.
Wow.
I don't know that I want to see an 80-year-old Elvis Presley.
Still trying to shake it. And
yeah, I don't know that, you know, there are some people that are immortalized, some stars, you know. James Dean, you know, certain Marilyn Monroe, some certain stars that are immortalized because they died young.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to see what they look like when they aged.
That's how
you know,
you
it would
kind of
ruin the image, you know? I mean, that's, it's just, I don't know. So, but yeah, anyway, I was reading the Fox News magazine this week. They had an article written by Michael Bartiromo. It's called 10 Things You Didn't Know About Elvis. Hmm. Elvis is one of the most written about people in the history of the United States, I think.
I can see that.
I mean, you can't turn on TV without seeing something somewhere about Elvis. My wife was always a big Elvis fan. She attended a concert back in the 70s, or would have been, I think, 71 or 72, right? Or, I'm sorry, 76, I think it was. 76 or 77. It was right before he died.
Mm-hmm.
A concert in Omaha. It wasn't too long before he passed away in 1977. But he, she was always a big fan. So I noticed a couple of programs kind of chronicling certain things about him that we hadn't seen before. So I recorded those for her the other night. So she has a chance to watch those. But, you know, so many things written. We probably feel like we know everything there is to know about Elvis. But they list 10 things here that you probably didn't know.
Okay.
It's, you know, he left the building back in 1977 when he passed away. But, you know, the king is still just as big as ever today, and probably more so. You know, he was such a kind-hearted person. He gave things away. He was famous for giving cars away to people. You like that car? Well, here's the keys. Take it, you know. I mean, he would give everything away all the time. And it left him, I mean, the state was pretty well broke when he passed away. Graceland really would have fallen into disrepair and been just a rundown dump if it wasn't for his ex-wife Priscilla, who stepped in to run the estate at that time, and she built that back into a tourist attraction and whatever else, and now it's making more money than ever. But, you know, when you stop and take a look back on what would have been his 80th birthday this past week, he has an enormous collection of recordings and films and things like that, and but there's a lot more about Elvis behind the scenes that a lot of folks never really knew. And he lists 10 different things here, too. This is kind of interesting. But the first one here, it says, according to Alice Cooper, you know, the rocker?
Yeah.
It says, Elvis once invited him, along with Chubby Checker, Liza Minnelli, and Linda Lovelace. That's kind of an odd group.
Yeah.
to a small gathering at his Las Vegas hotel in the 1970s. Sometime during the evening, Presley went and retrieved a loaded .38 from his kitchen drawer and told Cooper to point it at him. And he told him, I'm going to show you how to take this gun out of somebody's hand. You know, Elvis was big into karate and stuff like that. And Cooper says he jokingly thought about shooting him, being forever known as the guy who shot Elvis. He's just joking, of course. But he said, but before he knew what hit him, he was on the floor and Elvis had his boot on his throat. Again, karate, you know.
Karate.
That's where he got all those moves on stage. A second fact about it, I think a lot of folks knew that Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, was a bit of a shyster. But he was always looking to make a buck off of Elvis, who he considered to be somewhat of a novelty act instead of a serious performer. And it said Parker was known to stand outside of Elvis's earlier concert appearances, and he would be peddling I Love Elvis buttons for those fans who loved him. And the fans that were out there protesting that didn't like him, he would sell them I Hate Elvis buttons.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Nice to have a guy
wow,
like that in your corner,
yeah.
Isn't it? A third fact, it says, according to Priscilla Presley, Elvis loathed the plots of the movie musicals that he made after he came back from the Army. Instead, he wanted to make films like those of James Dean or Marlon Brando. But whenever he complained to the Colonel, Colonel Parker reminded him that they were making millions and his fans wanted to see him just in musicals. Priscilla wrote that in Elvis and Me, her book. Elvis's controlling manager also made him turn down roles in movies like Thunder Road, West Side Story, and Midnight Cowboy. Yikes, those, those were big movies. A fourth fact, it says Ed Sullivan initially didn't want Elvis on his program. Presley generated a lot of controversy after appearing on the Milton Berle show shortly before that, and Sullivan didn't want that kind of backlash. Sullivan only changed his mind after Elvis appeared on the Steve Allen show, which aired opposite the Ed Sullivan show on Sunday nights, and it crushed him in the ratings, so he kind of felt like he had to. A fifth fact, it says in his younger years, Elvis was a huge fan of Captain Marvel Jr. And it's widely believed that Presley modeled his signature look after the superhero, including his hair, his sideburns, and in the late era, his caped jumpsuits. Elvis even adopted Captain Marvel Jr.'s lightning bolt symbol as his unofficial logo. He plastered it on his private plane, on the wall of his TV room, and his TCB-encrusted jewelry. The writers of more recent Captain Marvel Jr. comics have returned the favor by modeling a character called King Marvel after Presley, and also by having Captain Marvel Jr. refer to Elvis as the greatest modern-day philosopher.
Hmm.
A sixth fact, it says, at one point early in the 1960s, Elvis owned a 40-pound chimpanzee named Scatter. Scatter had the habit of terrifying Presley's female guests and peeking under their skirts, which got the primate punched in the face by Elvis's friend, Patty Perry. Oops.
Hmm. I thought I've heard before that you had a monkey, but I didn't know about the rest.
weird stuff. There's a lot of weird going on back then. But another one, it says, Elvis kept a grocery list of items that were to be stocked at Graceland at all times. Among the consumables to be kept in his house were cigarettes, cigars, pickles, one case of Pepsi, banana pudding, Dristan, lean bacon, shredded coconut, 6 cans of biscuits, sauerkraut, and a gum called Phenamint, which boasted laxative properties.
Huh.
That's an odd combination,
yeah.
Isn't it? Another fact, it says that at a 2009 auction in Chicago, a lock of Elvis's hair from collector Gary Pepper's personal collection sold for $18,300.
What? For hair?
Now, the hair itself wasn't even DNA tested, but the clippings were deemed authentic by a celebrity hair expert. How do I get that job?
Right.
How do you put that on your IRS tax forms?
Yeah, I don't think
occupation?
So.
Celebrity hair expert. Another fact here, it says Elvis only made one commercial in his entire career. You see people on commercials all the time now.
Yeah.
He only made one commercial in his whole career. He sang the jingle in an ad for Southern Made Donuts back in 1954. According to the company itself, the lyrics were as follows. And I'm not singing it. I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
You can get them piping hot after 4 p.m. You can get them piping hot. Southern Made Donuts hits the spot. You can get them piping hot after 4 p.m.
Wow.
Now, since his death, Elvis's likeness has appeared in a number of advertising campaigns. But Elvis himself, while he was alive, one commercial. Hmm. That's it.
That's surprising.
Those were the lyrics. And also, another fact here, it says, it was widely believed that Elvis's first and only trip to the United Kingdom happened in 1960 when the plane carrying him home from his military tenure in Germany stopped to refuel at Glasgow Prestwick Airport in Scotland. And when word got out that Elvis may have spent a day in London with British rocker Tommy Steele back in 1958, and that was a story confirmed by Steele in 2008, officials at Prestwick Airport refused to believe it because they had already commemorated Elvis's stopover with a plaque. And they had erected an Elvis-themed lounge in honor of that event. Just because the plane stopped there on the way home. As far as we are concerned, it says, until it is proved otherwise, Prestwick Airport remains the only place in the United Kingdom that Elvis Presley ever set foot. That was according to the airport executive.
Well, then.
There you go. There you
have it. Don't mess with us, huh?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had another. There was this. I found this in my files. Doris Christensen of Audubon sent this to me in 2007, a few years back. Mm-hmm. And I think I've shared it on this program before. She did this back in 1995 as part of a creative writing class. It's entitled From White Bucks to Blue Suede Shoes.
Okay.
Should I read it for you?
Well, yeah, I want to hear it.
All right, here we go. Since we're on the Elvis
thing here. Well, yeah, I've got to keep with it.
It says, being a teenager in the late 50s, I enjoyed popular music as well as the musicians. Down through the years, we all recall our favorites with their own distinct style. I was brought up with Christian values in a home where conversations about dating, sex, and opportunities for unacceptable behavior were not spoken. The Scandinavian and English-Dutch Quaker heritage make that understandable. I felt drawn to Pat Boone, who openly talked about these matters. His recorded music and weekly television shows were clean and respectable. I admired his charming ways and respected all he wrote and professed as the right way to live. A part of his fame was wearing the white buck shoes, and they became popular because they symbolized Pat. I did not have many luxuries, so when time for new shoes came, of course I chose the white bucks. In June of 1958, a neighbor hired me to care for their two small children while their mother gave birth to a new baby. I was 17 years old and had 1 year left in high school, so babysitting was one way of earning an income. The third week of June, on a Monday morning, my mother telephoned where I was staying. Did you hear the news story on the radio this morning about the girl from Irwin who is going to work for the Pat Boone family? My mother knew of my admiration for him and did not intend to upset me, but it did. Tears flowed as I listened to repeated broadcasts of the latest news of the area. Judy Plum's mother knew if her daughter were to go to college, it would take a better-paying job. Well, this mother of eight wrote the Boones a letter explaining her daughter's story of need and her love of children and family values, and her references were reviewed, and soon Judy Plum received a telephone call of acceptance with a plane ticket on the way. The Plum family were members of the Church of Christ, a small country church at Redline in Shelby County. It's the oldest church of this denomination west of the Mississippi River, and Pat Boone's name is synonymous with the Church of Christ. She writes, my heart was broken. Inwardly, I asked myself, how could she be so lucky? I would love to trade places with her. I was jealous and sad to think someone, perhaps 15 miles away, would actually be in their home every day. The name Judy Plum felt like sibling rivalry. How dare she tread on my turf? I had kept a scrapbook of newspaper clippings of the Boone family, especially their four little girls. I felt I knew them. Did she even know their names? I wondered if other girls felt as left out as I did. I realized it was too late for me. It was her job, her privilege. Little did I realize the change of lifestyle Judy Plum must have faced. Hollywood in the height of Pat Boone's popularity, so far away from home. It must have been an awesome responsibility with the children so close in ages. Just as we all learn in all of life's crises, life goes on. My senior year in high school became exciting as I began dating. A friend asked me if I would like a blind date. Her boyfriend had someone in mind, so I agreed. On a Sunday afternoon, January 18th, 1959, a phone call came from a very nervous young man who arranged to come for me. I remember it was a very cold night, but I don't recall the movie shown at the theater. Our dating was weekends only, and our relationship grew. Dallas explained the blind date story to me. His friend Junior was a car salesman, the kind that's more sure of what you need than you are. A persistent pest, for sure. Dallas had recently returned from a shortened army stay. Prior to leaving, he had sold his car, so naturally he needed another one. Well, Junior tried every angle to make a sale. I'll even line you with a blind date. So the deal was made. As our courtship continued, we enjoyed the radio in his bright blue, brand-new 59 Chevy pickup. When Pat Boone was singing, I'd turn up the volume and sing along. As the story unfolds, Dallas happened to be drafted into the U.S. Army in May of 1958, the same time as Elvis Presley, who had acquired much popularity by then. Well, they were both privates at basic training in Fort Hood, Texas. They were on the same level now. Dallas hoped someday to meet Elvis in that huge place. Very unlikely, but it would be exciting. On a Saturday afternoon, they did meet, exchanged some small talk, and Dallas felt pretty happy about his moment with a celebrity, the king of rock and roll himself. So Dallas favored Elvis music, and we enjoyed the rivalry. His million-seller hits such as Heartbreak Hotel, Love Me Tender, and Blue Suede Shoes, and so many more. We both liked each other's music and stars. It was just a silly act, but it was fun. In May of 1959, our senior class skip day, we attended Visha at Ames, and while visiting a bookstore, I discovered Pat Boone's latest book, Twixt 12 and 20, and I purchased it, read it thoroughly, and believed every word. Dallas and I were married in the fall of 1960, 14 years later. On September 24, 1974, I heard that Pat Boone was appearing in a concert at Manning High School. I was sorry Dallas was in the hospital, but I wasn't going to miss this opportunity. It was a gorgeous fall day to welcome a guest to Western Iowa. It was my first experience to see an entertainer in person. What a thrill. I was in awe during the whole show. The staff was minimum. The accompaniment was taped. A huge screen was at the back of the stage. It showed pictures corresponding to his performance. Pat Boone wore his symbolic white buck shoes and a big smile. Joy filled my heart to overflowing, and tears of happiness must have sparkled in the bright lights. I felt content in the large crowd, although alone in my world of a dream come true. As he crooned April Love, it was so real and wonderful. Love Letters in the Sand, Remember, Remember Your Mind, and on, so many of his beloved songs. The jokes were clean and clever, and as he talked about his family of girls, he always hoped for a little boy. He'd have to settle for the little mic in his hand. The screen showed Pat, his wife Shirley, with their darling little girls, Cherry, Lindy, Debbie, and Lori, all in ruffles, ribbons, and curls. It was heartwarming to see the love their marriage was built on. Now, the last part of the show was familiar hymns and Southern gospel songs. What a walk with the Lord as his beautiful voice transformed that boxy gymnasium into a cathedral. The moving spirit lifted us to a steeple height as his prayerful mood touched us. Blessed Assurance was dynamic, Nearer My God to Thee, so personal, such a witness of faith. He closed with the old familiar Peace in the Valley that his father-in-law, Red Foley, was synonymous with for so many years. I wonder if he, too, was as proud as I that unforgettable evening. Now, the ladies that I came with chose not to get his autograph, but I did. And with a nervous lump in my throat, I waited until nearly the last person so as to savor the event even longer. "Where is Judy Plum now?" I inquired. "She and her husband are missionaries in Africa now and have 5 children." I shook his hand and smiled, and I had to move on. If those ladies had not been so patient and waited for me, no problem. I could have floated home on my own pink cloud. Just head me southeast, and I'd come down sometime. Well, the next day, still excited, I wanted to share every thrilling moment with my friends, our pastor and wife. They just listened, smiled, and said, "Let me shake your hand. I'm sure you haven't washed it yet." Just 3 years later, I was listening to the radio as I prepared supper. An Elvis song was played. Then the announcer said, "By the late Elvis Presley." The news was a shock to me, the nation, and probably around the world. When Dallas arrived home from work, I relayed the news to him. In his usual humor, he said, "I hope he leaves me some of his money." He won't need it now. After all, we were buddies. As we continued listening to more Elvis hits as a tribute to him, they played Now and Then, There's Such a Fool as I. I turned to Dallas. "Do you suppose this is what he'll be remembered by?" And he gave me a well-deserved smirk. Elvis Presley died at age 42 on Dallas's 42nd birthday, August 16, 1977. Our children continue to rekindle his rivalry with Christmas gifts of cassette tapes of Elvis's Christmas songs and a Pat Boone's cassette for me. Dallas still insists his is the best, and he wants to play his first. Our marriage has outlasted the Chevy pickup, the salesman, and the king. Just as the music lives on, so do cherished memories by telling these stories over and over again. Doris Christensen of Audubon sent that to me. Back in 2007, I hung on to it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, anyway, with Elvis's 80th birthday just passed us now, thought we'd share that again.
Yeah, that's nice.
A little local story there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably take a break before we dive into some other things, and we'll be back right after this.
Medical imaging is a powerful tool that provides you and your physician with a complete accurate, and often early diagnosis. Hi, this is Barb Lytle, Director of Radiology at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. When physicians refer their patients to us, we focus on providing an experience that is safe, secure, and comfortable for each and every patient. Our radiology staff is highly skilled in virtually every imaging area, and we strive to provide the highest quality imaging services by friendly, caring people. You can be sure that whatever imaging service you are seeking, you will be treated by an outstanding team of medical professionals and technologists. We understand how important high-quality imaging is to your health, which is why we offer the most technologically advanced imaging resources like digital radiography and mammography, CT scans, bone density, ultrasound, nuclear medicine, and MRI scans. Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic, providing excellence in quality health care close to home.
All right. Are you all Elvis'd out?
Oh, can you really be Elvis'd out, though? I mean, he's got some good tunes. I remember listening to him on my parents' 8-tracks at home and dancing to him and singing them.
Yeah, he was gone before you were born.
Yes, he was. But
yeah, I still remember the day he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just everybody was shocked. We were all just shocked.
Well, yeah.
You know, you just... Oh, well, you know, well, time moves on anyway.
It does, yep.
With or without certain folks, and with time comes, well,
some
events and
things,
activities.
Yes. Xyra Mason's New Year's breakfast will be held on January 11th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the new fire station. That's in Elkhorn. And they'll be serving up pancakes and eggs, sausage, French toast. It's all you can eat for a free will donation. And in case there is bad weather, they'll reschedule that for January 18th. And this is sponsored by the Exodus Lodge number 342. Again, that's the Xyra Mason's New Year's breakfast, January 11th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the new fire station in Elkhorn. Winter Movie Madness will be held every Monday during January and February from 3:30 to 5. That's at the Atlantic Public Library, and it's for kindergartners and up, and you can bring a drink in a closable container. Red Cross Blood Drive is coming up in Elkhorn on January 13th from 11:30 to 5:30. It's at the Lutheran Fellowship Hall. You can call Ann White at 764-5888 to schedule an appointment. And, of course, walk-ins are welcome. Again, that's Red Cross Blood Drive in Elkhorn, January 13th from 11:30 to 5:30. And that's at the Lutheran Fellowship Hall. The Atlantic High School Show Choir and Jazz Band are presenting Swing In Concert on January 15th at 7:30. Admission is just $5 for adults and $3 for students. Over in Audubon, the Audubon County Crime Stoppers Soup Supper will be held on January 17th at the Memorial Building in Audubon. It's from 5 to 7. They'll be serving chili, oyster, and vegetable beef soup along with sandwiches, bars, and drink. Just $7 for adults and $3 for children 12 and under, and then preschoolers are free. Again, it's the Audubon County Crime Stoppers Soup Supper January 17th at the Memorial Building in Audubon from 5 to 7. A Red Cross blood drive will be held in Atlantic on January 20th. It's from noon to 4 at Molly. Mobile Pantry will be at the Central Church of Christ, which is at 41 Harrison Street in Griswold on January 24th. It's there from 10 to noon, and the Mobile Pantry is a traveling food pantry that delivers food directly to families in need for a one-day distribution. The goal is to provide food where there is a high need but limited resources. It is free of charge. They do ask that you bring boxes or bags to carry food. Again, it's the Mobile Pantry at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold on January 24th. From 10 to noon. And the Red Cross blood drive is coming up at the end of January in Lewis on January 29th from noon to 5:30, and that will be held at the Lewis Community Center.
Excellent. Yes. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Pony Express. You did not. Oh, well, I'll throw that in here. Coming up on Saturday, January 17th, the 30th annual Pony Express Benefit Dance and Auction will be held at the Oakland Community Building on Highway 6 at the southern end of Oakland. The featured entertainer will be Phil Vandal. He's from down in St. Joe, Missouri. He'll be backed up by Paul Fay on bass with the rest of the Rhythm Kings group. He'll play favorite country and western tunes to have a good time dancing from 8 p.m. until midnight on January 17th. And then they'll have the usual raffle and auction items during the breaks as well. And as always, all the proceeds from the Pony Express events like that, they go to Camp Sunnyside to help out those handicapped youngsters over that's located in Ankeny. So, again, that's coming up on Saturday, January 17th from 8 until midnight. The Rhythm Kings, along with Phil Vandal, the featured entertainers at the 30th annual Pony Express Benefit Dance. Also, the Elliott Fireman's 61st Annual Roast Pork Feed, Deer and Roast Pork Feed, That's coming up on Saturday, January 17th as well, 5:30 at the Elliott Community Building. They'll be serving mashed potatoes and gravy, beans and coleslaw as sides, along with the deer and roast pork. So I hope you get a chance to help those folks out. 61st annual.
Wow.
Well, the firemen have been doing that for a good long time, haven't they? And don't forget the Atlantic Band Spaghetti Supper. That's coming up toward the end of the month on Thursday, January 29th at the Atlantic High School Commons, and that'll be from 5 to 8 p.m. I know they're selling patron tickets out right now so that businesses in the area can help to support that event, and you can get your individual tickets from band members also, and you can also get them at the door. I think it's $6 at the door for adults, so it's very reasonable for an all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper with salad and garlic bread and drink. So, yeah, nice opportunity to get up there and support those youngsters. They're going to be going on a band trip to New York.
Oh, cool.
Coming up in 2016.
Yeah.
They do it once every 4 years so that each student, as they go through their four-year term in high school, gets a chance to go on a trip.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
They're looking forward to that, raising some money so that they can offset the costs of that. So if you can help them out, they'd love to see you. You'll get a meal, too, at the January 29th event. Okay, that gets us through that part.
Yeah, got some birthdays here. Yeah. Yep. I would like to wish happy 70th birthday to Lorinda Patchen. They're going to have an open house in her honor on Saturday, January 24th from 2 to 4 at the Adair Community Center, and they are asking for no gifts, please. So happy birthday, 70th birthday to Lorinda Patchen, celebrating their birthday with an open house on January 24th from 2 to 4.
Wow. They, Lorinda and her husband Donald from over in the Adair area. They've gone with us for a number of years on our trip down to Branson in June. They enjoy it each time. We enjoy having them with us. So happy birthday.
Yes. Over at the Xyra Care Center, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Clarence Nielsen, celebrating his birthday on January 11th. So happy birthday, Clarence Nielsen, celebrating his birthday on January 11th over at the Xyra Care Center.
Excellent. That's what you have?
That's all I got.
Yeah, I do have an anniversary note here to share with you. It's for Paul and Cleo Steffen. They're going to be celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary this week. Kind of a funny story, it says here, too. They're going to have they're asking for a card shower. The family's asking for a card shower. And if you'd like to send cards, their anniversary date is January 13th, so it's coming up this next week. Paul and Cleo Steffen can be sent cards if you send them to 106 Harrison Street. That's 106 Harrison Street in Griswold. 51535. And there's just a little note here, too. It said that their marriage has lasted a long time. Of course, 65 years is a long time. Didn't necessarily start out with a bang.
Oh, really?
Well, it says they were married on Friday, January 13th, 1950, in an icy blizzard.
Oh, no. Well, January 13th. Was it a Friday? You wonder?
It says Friday, January 13th, 1950. They were tempting fate to start with, getting married on Friday the 13th. But, in an icy blizzard, no less, which we can sympathize with these days. But it's the icy blizzard. You know, you get over that.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get over being married. 65 years later, still going strong.
That's great.
Yeah, again, congratulations to Paul and Cleo Steffen of Griswold. And if you'd like to send them a card for their 65th anniversary, 106 Harrison Street, Griswold, Iowa, 51535 is the address if you'd like to help those folks out and recognize them. That's all I have for anniversaries here this week. We don't have any new birth announcements this week. If you do have any birthdays of note, anniversaries that you'd like to share with us, or new additions to the family you'd like to crow about, you can always send that information to us. Here you can mail it to us, fax it to us, email it to us, drop it by the studio, throw a paper airplane out your door and hope it turns the right direction to head here, depending upon where the prevailing wind is. We've had a lot of that this week.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. When was it? Thursday. Was it Thursday? Yeah, it was just awful. End of the day, just white out.
A little rough.
Yeah.
It's supposed to warm up. I mean, warm up into the 30s, actually, in the next few days. So, yeah, enjoy
toasty.
That. Yeah, we'll be running around without a shirt on.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not.
No. Not even close.
It'll sure feel nice, though, after what we've been through.
Yeah, well.
So we hope you get through the weekend just fine and enjoy what will hopefully be a little warmer weather coming our way very soon.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for you here this weekend, but, you know, as always, we do appreciate you spending a little bit of your time with us here on the radio and inviting us in audio fashion into your home. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.